Happy Monday and welcome to another edition of the Saxo Market Call podcast. As always, my name is Søren Otto, and today it is, as I said, Monday, and that means we will have our weekly macro episode with you, Charu Chanana. Hi, Charu, how are you doing?
Hi, Søren. Very good. Happy Monday to you as well.
That's great, and good afternoon, I guess I should say, because you are dialing in from Singapore, as always. So today...
Yes, one day less.
One day less, that's true. I'm still missing to get through it. That's good. So today, Charu, we're going to talk about central banks, because that is really, I wouldn't necessarily say the talk of the town, but if you look at macro markets, then it is central bank week, because we have a lot of them with meetings. For instance, we're going to talk about the FOMC meeting that's going to be on Wednesday and how that'll impact the dollar. I guess a few months back, we were thinking that probably we should talk interest rates right now, but that doesn't really seem relevant. Then we're going to talk about the Bank of Japan, which is a topic that we touch upon often these days. And then we're going to have a look at whether there's any of the other central bank meetings that are relevant. And I know you have some good input there. But Charu, let's just jump into the U.S. and the FOMC meeting, as I said, on Wednesday. And as I just quickly mentioned, we're not going to see a cut in interest rates by the Fed at this meeting. But obviously, as always, as it's been at least for many years now, the guidance and the tone of the meeting is something that the market will pay close attention to, especially when we see in the light of still a pretty hot inflation. But what's your general takeaway? What should we pay attention to in that meeting?
Yeah, I mean, Søren, it seems like we've come afar, from the start of the year when markets were really expecting March to be that pivotal moment where the Fed starts cutting rates, to now, of course, like you said, you know, there's a little bit of a change in the tone of the markets because of these hot inflation prints that we've seen repeatedly now for January and now for February as well. Last week, we got CPI as well as PPI coming in hotter than expected. So like I said last week, right, when we got those hot January inflation prints, markets kind of still discounted that by saying that there is some seasonality aspect to it because there's resetting of prices at the start of the year. There's some one-off component to it. You know, you can't really think that the disinflation trend has been disrupted just because one print has come off the trend. But now we have both January and February really coming in above expectations. And that's not really all. I mean, the other big factor playing on the minds of the markets at this time is, where are the oil prices? We have Brent above $85 again. Where are the gas prices? We are now again at 6-month highs. So that again kind of raises the risk that headline inflation at least could continue to jump up higher from here as well. It obviously is also a confirmation that January was not really a statistical error. So obviously, I mean, you know, there's one argument that says that the Fed doesn't look at CPI or PPI. The Fed really looks at PCE. But indications from CPI and PPI are that the core PCE number could also show a reacceleration. And that is not good news. It is especially not good news because this time it's not about whether the markets have got it wrong. You know, markets are correctly pricing in the path of Fed. We are very close to what the Fed had guided for in December. So the other option really is that these numbers really reflect how, the Fed's guidance was probably misguided, I should say. So, I think that's really the question here as we get into this FOMC meeting this week, whether this reacceleration in inflation could really prompt the Fed to relook at its dot plot, to relook at its inflation forecasts for 2024, for even for the medium term, I would say. I think the big argument that's been there in the markets is, could we see the Fed's dot plot for 2024 show only 2 rate cuts rather than the 3 that they showed back in December? So, and that's that's not a lot, right? It only needs two of the six Fed members to raise their expectation of interest rates at the end of 2024 to 25 basis points higher, and that will make your median shift 25 basis points higher.
I mean, that...
No,
go ahead. Sorry, Charo. I was just interrupting.
Yeah, no, so I was just saying that there's this whole focus on whether we get that shift in dot plots in 2024. But I think the one argument that's not been so much there in the press probably is that this whole inflation upside could also bring back the debate on what is the neutral rate or what is the long run rate that the Fed needs to get to. Is it still 2.5% that the Fed showed in December and has been showing for a very long time, or could we go maybe 25 basis points higher there? So I think there's a lot of rethinking that the Fed needs to do. And if the Fed really does that, the markets will be in for a shock because they are completely aligned right now to the to what the Fed had shown back in December. Sorry, over to you, Soren.
Yeah, I think obviously there's a lot of interesting talk about the FOMC and all of this, but I guess also since we have you here, I want to talk a little bit about how could this affect the dollar and do you see any major changes there depending on how this meeting is going to go?
Yeah, I mean, the tricky part of this whole situation is that even though there is a part of the market that is expecting that dot plot shift, that is still not a consensus view. So I would say dollar really faces two-way risks going into this week, because if at all, if the Fed was to confirm this, dovish, I should say the hawkish shift in the dot plot, where it shifts the median dots for 2024 to show only two rate cuts and not three, then obviously there is likely to be a reaction function in the markets where yields go higher and the dollar goes higher as a result, because that's not something that's fully priced in. But on the other hand, if they still think that it's just 2 months of data and they are not in a position to consider that the disinflation trend has been disrupted, if they maintain that 2024 median dot to reflect three rate cuts, then we can also see an immediate relief rally in risk assets, in gold, and that means that the dollar could go down as well. So, I think it's really hard to say where we go this time. I think the volatility is going to be really high going into this Fed meeting this week, and the risks for the dollar really are two-way.
And before we have the FOMC meeting on Wednesday, we have the Bank of Japan meeting on Tuesday as well. Obviously, there's been a lot of focus on the Bank of Japan this year and everything that's going on out there, also because the Nikkei has performed relatively well. What's your expectation to that, and what could that impact be on the Japanese yen?
So the market opinion, Soren, on the Bank of Japan is, I would say, again, a little bit split, whether we get that exit on negative interest rates in March or in April. But there are some very clear signals pointing to the fact that we could get that shift as early as Tuesday, as you said, right? Or maybe Monday night for your time zone particularly. So the signals that we've got is from the union wage negotiations. They seemed to have been the key thing that the Bank of Japan was waiting for. We have that number out now, at least the first tally that was out on Friday. And it indicated a very healthy number of over 5% growth, which is the highest in 30 years. So that is a clear green light for the Bank of Japan. And then there's been a lot of Japanese press, the likes of GG Media, the likes of Kyodo, so some very respectable Japanese media houses that have all been hinting very clearly, like March is a done deal for Bank of Japan to really exit those negative interest rates. But still, I mean, I think the tricky part again here is that on Friday, when we got that wage number reported higher than 5%, dollar yen went lower about 30-40 pips, but then it was really a buy on dips, and it rose over 100 pips from 148 all the way to 149, and has been trading above 149 today as we get closer and closer to this decision. So that behavior of the yen is really at odds, considering that positioning is already quite a stretched short in the yen, and given this whole central bank space, Bank of Japan is really the only central bank to be hiking rates at this point. You would expect the yen to strengthen. But really, I think this question goes beyond what really matters to the yen. Is it the Bank of Japan, or is it really what the yields are doing or what the Fed could do this week? I've written an article on that last week, and I think that whatever the Bank of Japan does, I think the reaction from the market will be still biased towards positioning for the FOMC rather than reacting to the Bank of Japan itself. Because specifically, like you mentioned, the timeline, Bank of Japan comes out Tuesday morning in Asia hours, whereas the Fed is a day or so after that. So, I think the risk reward for the yen certainly looks like we could be positioning for a weaker yen from here, because even if the Bank of Japan hikes rate, they're likely to kind of compound it with a very dovish commentary to say that, you know, policy will remain accommodative and that they are not embarking on this aggressive rate hike cycle. So, you know, kind of to not let the markets expect too many rate hikes. That again means that dollar yen could potentially run higher above 150 or so with that kind of a commentary coming out. And if they don't hike, then again, you know, I mean, because there is some expectation of a hike, that is likely to be a disappointment for the yen as well. So again, that means the yen, Japanese yen could be weaker in that case as well. So I think a lot at stake with that BOJ meeting, but still even more at stake with the Fed meeting still in terms of what happens to the yen.
It's going to be interesting in a week's time when we're here again and talk about this to see what really unfolded and how the markets move. Obviously, it's easier to look at it in hindsight, but I think some good points here in relation to looking ahead, that FOMC probably, even though we talk a lot about the Bank of Japan, may be more important for markets. But I guess, as I said, this is really a week where we have a lot of central bank meeting. I guess these are still the two most important ones. Do you see any other central bank meetings that could really impact the markets? Like, we have Switzerland on Thursday, for instance, the UK same day. We also have Australia coming up. I think that's Tuesday. So do you see any of these having an impact on the markets, really?
I would think one of the surprise central banks this week could really be the Swiss National Bank. So for them, the market is only pricing about a 30% odds of a rate cut this week. But I would think there is probably a higher chance that they could actually cut. So the Swiss National Bank is a very orthodox central bank. They don't really wait for the Fed to make that first move. I think they have a mind of their own. And usually, I would say, you know, recent past would suggest that they seem to have a tendency to preempt the ECB, particularly. So if now, you know, a lot of ECB commentary that's coming out, that is suggesting that we could potentially see the first ECB rate cut in June, then this is the only, you know, meeting that the SNB has before ECB's April and June meeting. So the next meeting for the Swiss National Bank is actually after the ECB's June meeting. So if they really want to preempt an ECB rate cut, this is the only meeting that they have to do it. So I think that is one key risk. There's also a lot of pressure from the Swiss manufacturing sector because of the strength of the Swiss franc and how it is kind of impacting the manufacturing sector. So even if we don't get a rate cut at this point from the SNB, I would think that the risk of commentary being extremely dovish is high. I would think the markets could, in that case, in fact, start to price in the chance of a 50 basis points rate cut in June, if at all we don't see a rate cut this week from the Swiss National Bank. And there is also a good chance that we could get a stronger language on FX, with that clear evidence that the SNB is getting concerned about the strength of the Swiss franc and its impact on the manufacturing sector, on the economic growth of Switzerland. So that's one important one. And I think probably also, like you mentioned, you know, the Reserve Bank of Australia on Tuesday, I think they potentially do not have a lot of, lot to offer this week. The same goes for Bank of England as well. It is likely, I would say, to be a non-event, although we could get some shift in vote split in the Bank of England. So two members have been voting for a rate hike. At least one of them, I would think, could potentially switch to a no change. So that is a dovish surprise, but I would wonder how much of an impact that really has on sterling at this point, because, like we've discussed a few times, the Bank of England is expected to start cutting rates only from August. So they are still likely to lag the Fed and the ECB as of this point. And that doesn't change even if that one member kind of switches the vote. The bigger reasons why I'm still quite focused on sterling, despite the fact that I expect the BOE to be a non-event, is because the long positioning in sterling is very, very stretched. So this COT report that we had over the weekend, it shows that speculators actually added further longs to sterling in the week to March 12. So the sterling long is now actually at its highest since 2007. So that's a massive long we are getting to in positioning terms for sterling. And secondly, the important factor is that sterling has shown a very close correlation to equity sentiment in recent months. And, we've seen these animal spirits in the markets that has obviously helped sterling to stay supported as well. It has been the best performer year to date in the G10 FX space. But there are indications that, the equity sentiment is starting to weaken. Now, we do have that NVIDIA AI conference going on for most part of this week, which will be a key focus for the equity traders. Now, whether that kind of makes or breaks the AI momentum, I really don't know. But if at all it is unable to support that upbeat sentiment in the equity markets, and if we see that weakening trend of equity risk sentiment continuing, I think that can also come to hurt sterling in some way or the other this week, along with the positioning, the very, very stretched long positioning that I just mentioned.
Chara, I think that was everything I had on my paper. So thank you so much for making us all a little bit smarter. And just to sum up, I guess FOMC is probably going to be one of the most important events this week, both for FX markets as you follow, but probably also for markets in general. Then we have the Bank of Japan, which is also going to be somewhat interesting, and it's also worth paying attention to both the Swiss National Bank, the UK, and the Australian one. But again, thank you so much, Charu, for coming and making us all a little bit smarter. I'll leave you to it now. And on behalf of Charu, the Saxo Market Call podcast, everybody here at Saxo, my name is Soren Otto. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back anytime soon.
Thank you.
And until then, happy trading.